We are doing Hosea. We're up to the third chapter, and we had learned about how again God tells the Navi Hosea, God tells him, go and befriend another woman. Again, a woman who you cannot trust to be faithful to you, just as God loved the Jewish people and they are unfaithful to him. And we discussed the concept whether this literally happened or this was all in the vision of prophecy. And Hosea took this woman and told her, for many days stick with me, don't continue prostitution, don't go with other men, and I will be faithful to you as well. For this represents the many days that the Jewish people will be without a king, without a leader. They won't have a sacrifice, they won't have a Kohen Gadol, and then the Jews will return, they will seek out God, they will seek out their King David, and they will return to the faith of Hashem and to God's good in the end of days. And this is approximately where we left off, with Pasuk Hei. אחר ישובו בני ישראל וביקשו את אדוני אלוהיהם ואת דוד מלכם. After the period of exile, that's how Rashi learns, or after a long period, the Jews will return to the land of Israel, and then they will seek out God, and he will be their source. They will pose their requests to him, and God will be in their midst again. And again, they will have David as their king, which could be understood as King David literally, or the concept of Melech HaMashiach, or the return of the Davidic dynasty. Ufachadu el Adonai ve'el tuvo ve'acharit hayamin. And then, they will not sin. They will be God-fearing people. And they will live with the recognition that they need God in their midst and that they shouldn't mess up again. So they'll be scared of sinning because they'll recognize that they're good and their hope comes from God. And this will be Be'acharit HaYamim, which simply understood, this is at the end of time. We're up to Perek Gimel, Pasuk, Perek Dalet. Dalet, what's called the fourth chapter, Pasuk Aleph. If it doesn't disturb the people here, yes. If other people prefer it off, leave it off. Whatever.
Now we can maybe open here.
Yes, sir. Okay. Perek Dalet. This is again, this is the Christian division of the chapters. What's referred to as the fourth chapter. Shimu devar Adonai b'nei Yisrael ki riv l'Adonai im yoshevei haaretz ki ein emet ve'ein chesed ve'ein dat Elohim ba'aretz. God says, listen to the word of God, the Jewish people. And the word Shema, we know, has multiple meanings. The word Shema could mean to listen. A deaf person cannot hear. God is telling the Jewish people, listen. It could mean to listen so that you understand. Meaning, not just the physical capacity to hear, but beyond that, to actually listen to what's being said. It could mean to understand. It could mean to obey. And here the Targum translates, Shim'u devar Hashem, accept the words of Hashem, the Jewish people. Kiriv l'Hashem im yoshevei haaretz. Because God says, I have a fight with the inhabitants of the land. And God is really talking to the Jewish people. He's not referring to them as Jews in this part of the Pasuk. He says, listen, the Jews, because God has a fight with the inhabitants of the land. He is purposely referring to the Jewish people as the inhabitants of the land. He is referring to the fact that he gave us a gift. He gave us the land of Israel. And God says, what are you doing with that gift? Ki ein emet. For when I look at the land of Israel, I do not see truth. The ein chesed. And I do not see kindness. The ein dat Elohim. Nor is there anyone who takes the time to recognize God. Hashem says, I have a fight with you. I have to pick a bone with you, Jewish people. You're behaving as though you're just inhabitants of the land and you don't even appreciate the gift I gave you. You're in the land of Israel, the land where I said I keep my eye on that land, and I see there's no truth, there's no kindness, there's no Da'at Elohim, there's no knowledge of God in the land. Alo vechachesh. I see people swearing falsely. Alo, swearing, like Allah, vechachesh, and lying. Veratzach veganov v'naof. And people are murdering, people are stealing, and people are going with other people's wives. Paratzu v'damim v'damim nagau. They've breached the fence, so to speak. God said they've spilled so much blood that it's as though when they spill one person's blood, he doesn't land on dry land, but rather his blood touches other blood which is already there from the previous person murdered. That, so to speak, one after the other, they're slaughtering like a slaughterhouse. You know, in ancient times, they used to consider it healthy that a surgeon had blood on his knife. If he was cutting from one person to the next person, so that they considered a good surgeon someone whose knife was always bloody. They considered that a good thing. That's healthy, that so to speak. There's still blood there, so when he's cutting with someone else's blood. So here, the Navi is saying, there's so much murder going on in the land of Israel that one person's blood, when he gets killed, lands on someone else's blood that was killed just before him. Vidamim vidamim nagau. Blood is falling upon blood. Blood is touching blood. Yeah, Simpa.
When I read this, it makes me think that sin begets more sin. When I read, you know, blood reaches blood, it makes me think that one sin leads to another sin, and the sinfulness of the people in general leads to more, you know, like illicit behavior.
That's how the Targum explains. That's one way to understand the Targum. The Targum says, Chovin al chovin mosfin. Debt gathers upon debt. So it could be understood that the debt over here means spiritual debt, means sins beget sins. But it could also be understood, and I'm not sure if that's what the Targum means, but I'm not sure if the understanding you're saying, that sin begets sin, is what he means, or he simply means that they're piling one on top of the other, which is what I would assume he means. But maybe. Al kein teval haaretz. Because of this, God says, the land will mourn. The land will be destroyed. The word avel could mean mourning. The word avel could come from the word navla, like navol tibol. Like Yisro told Jethro, told Moshe, you will wear down, you will be destroyed if you keep up such hard work. So avel could come from the word mourning, or it could be from the word nibul, to wither. So therefore God says the land will wither, the land will be destroyed. Ve'umlal kol yoshev ba, and all who inhabit the land of Israel will be destroyed, will be uprooted, will be cut off from the land. In modern Hebrew, the word umlal means miserable. But in Tanakh, the word umlal means to be cut off. The umlal kol yoshev ba v'chayat hasadeh uve'of hashamayim v'gam degei hayam. The birds, the animals, the fish, everyone's going to be cut off from the land. The land is going to be complete desolation and destruction. So the simple understanding is, this is an exaggeration. The destruction is going to be so bad that even the wildlife will leave the land of Israel. And we know that Mark Twain, when he visited the land of Israel, he recorded that there is no wildlife here. You see swamplands. You see desert. You don't see, even wildlife don't come to the land of Israel. So maybe the Navi was talking literally, that the land of Israel won't be fit even for animals, which we know when the Jews came here, it was swamps. Fish don't live in swamps. Birds can't. So that's what the Pasuk says. Everyone's going to have to leave. Ye'asef means will be wiped out, will be finished, like sof, will be finished off. They won't be able to be here. Ach ish al yareiv ve'al yochach ish ve'amecha kimrivei kohen. There's no one around to fight these people, to rebuke these people, to tell them you're doing wrong. Ach ish al yarev. There's no one here to fight. Ve'al yochach ish. And there's no one here to rebuke anyone. Ve'amecha. And God says to the prophet, your nation, they are like the congregation of Korach, who fought with Aaron the Kohen. So they claimed, you have no right to have a position of leadership. That was Korach's claim. So too, the nation of Israel. They're fighting with you, the prophets. They're saying, you have no right to fight with us. Just as Korach came against Moshe and Aaron, Korach and his men, they said to Moshe and Aaron, you have no right to your position. Korach and his men were in the wrong. But they were making the claims against Moshe and Aaron as though they were in the right. By the same token, God says, Ve'amecha, and your nation, Hoshea, the people of Israel, are kimrivei kohen, like the congregation of Korach that fought with the Kohen, that fought with Moshe and Aaron illegitimately. Ve'chashalta hayom, ve'chashal gam navi, imecha laila, ve'damiti imecha. Therefore the prophet says, ve'chashalta, and you will stumble hayom, even though it is daylight. Ordinarily in daylight people don't stumble, they see where they're going. God says, I will destroy the land of Israel, I will exile the people, and they will stumble. V'chashal gam navi, and the false prophets together with you will stumble laila, as though it were night. V'damiti imecha, and I will destroy. Damiti is like I will cause silence. Silence is a sign of destruction. There's nothing there, totally destroyed. V'damiti, and I will cause the silence of destruction. Imecha. Imecha literally means your mother. Throughout Tanakh, when we have the word imecha, Chazal tell us it refers to the Jewish people as a whole. Al titosh torat imecha. Do not forsake the Torah of your mother. It doesn't mean your mother. It means the Torah of the Jewish people. Ma imecha leviya ben arayot ravatza, the Navi says, your mother is a lioness. She sits among lions. Who's your mother? Ma imecha leviya. Your mother isn't your mother, it's the Jewish people. In Shir Hashirim it says, Tzena orena bnot Tzion b'melech Shlomo, go out, the girls of Zion, see the King Solomon, ba'atara she'itera lo imo, the crown that his mother made him on the day of his wedding. Who's his mother? It's a reference to the crown that the Jewish people glorified God on the day they accepted the Torah. Imecha is umatcha, your nation. So the nebuah that God is telling the Navi is, to summarize what we saw today, tell the Jewish people, I have a fight with you. You're inhabitants of the land, but you don't maintain truth, kindness, or knowledge of God in the land, but the contrary. There is lying, there is murder, there is people stealing one another's wives. They've breached every fence, and the blood is spilling upon blood. And therefore, God says, ultimately, this land will be destroyed. There will be no living creatures on the land, no wild animals, no birds, no fish. When there should be people rebuking one another, there isn't, but the contrary. The people are rebuking the Kohen, they're rebuking the leaders and telling them, what are you doing? As though the leaders, here we're talking about the Kohanim, the Nevi'im, the few people who are God-fearing people, well, those people are being attacked just like Korach attacked Moshe and Aaron. And therefore God says, ultimately you will stumble in broad daylight, and together with you will stumble the false prophets who keep promising you everything will be good, the soothsayers, everyone's going to stumble together as though it was night, and this will lead to the ultimate silence of the land of Israel, the silence of the people being chased out of the land of Israel, the people being destroyed, and the land of Israel remaining in desolation. To the point that the Navi tells us in Pasuk Vav, Nidmu ami mibeli hadat, my nation has been cut off. They've been destroyed and chased out of the land of Israel. And what is the source of all this? Because they don't know me. Ki ata Hada'at ma'asta. Va'em oscha mikahen li. Va'tishkach torat elohecha. Eshkach banecha gam ani. God says, you don't want to know. And even the Kohanim among you, they should be teaching the nation, and they're not. The Kohanim are going along with the nation. Instead of guiding the nation and teaching them that they should be living moral lives, they're not. They're going with the nation and living immorally. God says, you've disgraced and been disgusted with knowledge, so I've been disgusted with you from being my Kohanim. Vatishkach, being that you have forgotten the Torah, so I will also forget your children. I will not save them in this time of destruction. Kirubam ken chatuli kevodam bekalon amir. I keep giving them more greatness. The more I give them, the more they sin against me. And therefore God says, okay, if that's what you do with the honor, I'll give you, so I'll give you shame. Kirubam, as I've made them great, ken chatuli, by the same token they've sinned against me, kevodam, the honor that I've given them, if they've used it for that, God says, ultimately I'll have to turn around and bekalon amir. I will exchange it for shame. Yes? When or where?
When?
Well, look the first chapter. What does it say?
I don't know.
Okay, so look. Okay, you have your answer? Most prophets are like that. You look at the very beginning and they tell you when they lived. Chatat ami yochelu velavonam yis'u nafsho. The Kohanim, who should be leading the nation properly, they're just maintaining their position of kahuna for their own benefit. The Kohen is entitled to eat from the chata sacrifice. So why is he entitled to eat from the chata sacrifice? Because God says, you bring the chata sacrifice to me, now what do I do with the sacrifice you bring me? I tell you, give it to the people who are my representatives on earth. The Kohanim are supposed to be my educators, my representatives, so give them from the chatas. God says, you Kohanim, you only consider yourselves my representative when it comes time to eating the Jews' food. Chatat ami yocheilu. You eat the chata sacrifices, though you're my representative. Ve'lavonam yisun afsho. And at the same time, you're waiting for them to sin, so they'll have to bring another sacrifice and you'll have more to eat. That's not the idea behind you being entitled to eat the chatas. Vayacha'am kakohen. And therefore God says when the destruction will come, there will be equality. The Kohanim won't have any special stature. The nation will suffer just as the Kohanim will, because the Kohanim have been just as sinful as the nation. Ufakati alav derachav. And I will take them to task over their ways. Umalalav ashiv lo. And I'll pay them back for their actions. Vachelo velo yisbahu. And they will eat, and even though they eat, they won't be satiated. That's a special curse in the Torah that God says He will send them me'era, which is a form, some kind of disease that a person just eats and eats, and as much as he eats, he's not satiated.
And there are some like this disease. It is known.
Worms.
Okay. Ah, maybe. I don't know.
No. It's special with metabolism or psychiatry.
So God says, being that they're using all of the physical for bad, I've given them food and they use it for sin. I've given them marriage and they use that capacity for sin as well. So God says, I will let them eat, but they will not be satiated. They will copulate and they won't procreate, they won't have more children. And here, notice the Navi refers even to the man with his wife as his nu. His nu literally means they will go with prostitutes. But because their intent is constantly to sin, they have no godly intent even when they're with their wives, So the Navi refers to the relationship, even with the person's own wife, as hiznu. They will go with illegitimate relationships, even though technically with his own wife it is a legitimate relationship. Ve'lo yifrotzu, and they won't expand. The nation will not grow. Ki et Hashem azvu lishmol, because they've stopped watching God's ways. So Be'ezrat Hashem, this is where we'll pick up. The Navi is prophesizing destruction because of the immoral way the Jewish people are living in the land of Israel.